Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Dude, everybody, awesome. Welcome back to Millennial Dentist. We are so excited. This is our second interview now. We have a guest I've been wanting to have on our podcast for a while. Yes. The Podfather himself,
Podfather
Gary Takich. How are you, sir?
Man, I am doing amazing. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh.
I'm so excited. Yeah. Sully's just going in and getting him. I'm like, are you serious?
I was like, wow, someone else is going to get him.
That's why I love Sully. He just goes at it, you know?
So tell me about your journey.
I won't start with when I was a twinkle in my father's eye.
Yeah, okay, fast forward there.
Fast forward. Because you're millennials and your attention span.
No, you're exactly right. You got to get to the point.
You get 8 seconds.
I'm just kidding. So I've been a podcast listener since 2010. I'm a triathlete, so I like to run, cycle, swim, and I like to listen to stuff when I'm training. And I discovered podcasts, the world of podcasting, as a consumer in 2010. And I tend to listen to business stuff because that's the stuff that I like, you know. And in late 2011, I looked around to see if there's anything in dentistry. And, you know, you guys, you may not remember, but in 2010, to listen to a podcast, you had to be a real nerd. You typically had a desktop, you had an MP3 player, and you had some bridging software that bridged your MP3 player to the computer, and you had to download stuff. And it was painful compared to what it is today, where we have
so
the app on our phone.
Yeah, exactly.
And so in late 2011, I looked around to see if there was anything in dentistry. You know, I went to iTunes, and I typed every different way you could type in dentistry, dental, teeth, every different way. Nothing, zero. So I said, well, then I'll create my own. So I learned how to podcast. I built a radio station in my office. My wife says I do this just to buy all the gadgets. I decided that I would do, my vision was to do an interview format where I would interview authorities in dentistry. We'd publish every Wednesday. I decided that if I was going to do this, I wanted to be serious about it.
Sure.
And I'd interview every Wednesday. Nice. And we would talk about their area of expertise. And so here we go on a Friday. So 2 days ago when we published was our 314th show.
Wow. That is insane.
So we're in the seventh year. It's been a blast.
Wow.
And I actually was the first, hence the name,
the Podfather.
But I am so excited about what you guys are doing. And I try to be encouraging.
Sure.
And I've had, probably 30 or 40 people approach me about creating a podcast. And I encourage them because we all have different voices. We all have different perspectives. Mm-hmm. We all have different, we see the world through different lens.
Yeah.
And it's so cool what you guys are doing. And I love the focus. Let's face it, there are a lot of young dentists out there trying to figure things out. And you're part of helping them navigate it. And I just want to compliment you for what you're doing. It's
thank
awesome.
You. Yeah,
man.
Thank you.
Well, it's fun. You know, I tell people, the reality is we just need to know a little more than the next person, right? And we
Isn't
can all be mentors.
Is?
It is, I think.
You know, an expert is someone that knows a little bit more than you do, and you can guide them that way.
And you look back into dental school, when you're a fourth year, I mean, the third years and the second years, I mean, they look up to you like nobody's business.
Right.
And when you're a first year, the pre-dental students look up to you. And so
exactly.
I think it's none of us are reinventing the wheel, right? I mean, we're repackaging content in our own way and giving it out. And really, I think it's fantastic because it's furthering our profession in a positive way, right? I think the tide really is rising everybody. And I think that's so cool about it.
Yeah, you know, I teach our clients the concept of abundance thinking. And the core to abundance thinking is that the rising tide raises all boats.
Yeah.
And, you know, as opposed to scarcity thinking, where it's kind of like a zero-sum game.
Sure.
Where that in order, I don't subscribe to that, but the zero-sum game is that in order for me to win, you have to lose. And same with, if you think about dentists for just a minute, you know, I own a practice right here in Phoenix, and we have wonderful colleagues, in dentistry. And we support them.
Yeah.
Because, there's 50% of the adults in the United States don't have a dentist. Let's go find them.
Yeah. Well, and were you in there for Dr. Moody's thing? I loved how he was saying that on. I mean, like, I thought, man, his talk was just so powerful.
Spot on.
And the fact that, like, look, we are not in competition with each other. I mean, my it's funny. My wife comes from corporate America side, so she's like, y'all, like, you know, locally, you're always, you know, talking to your people. I'm like, babe, we're not competitors. I want them to do that. Like, that's not my competition. You know, everything else is my competition. And it's funny because just the way she's with that and from the corporate side.
Yeah, she has some brain damage. Now, I don't mean that personally.
No, but it's true. I totally agree with you. Sorry, she doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah, right. We're okay. We're safe. We're safe. No, but I do subscribe to that abundance thinking and that relates to podcasting as well. We all have different voice. We all have different perspective. We're lifting our colleagues up.
So talk to me a little about your how you got into dentistry and buying practices and that sort of thing. I mean, a lot of people have a desire to own multiple practices, and it looks sometimes shinier than it is in reality. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I started in 1980. So my goodness, that was 38 years ago. Throughout the 1980s, I worked in two different consulting firms, learning my craft as a consultant. I had worked with about 500 practices throughout the 80s. And by 1989, I thought, okay, I maybe know enough to go hang a shingle. And I started my own coaching firm at that time in 1989. Originally, we called it Tacus Learning Center, my last name. I didn't want to use that name, but the marketing company said it makes a nice acronym, TLC.
Does, yeah.
And they said, you know, we could have a tagline. Every practice could use a little TLC.
We
just rebranded recently. We're now called the Thriving Practice Academy. And we work with dentists all over North America to help them develop their ideal practice. I learned in 07 that I live here in Arizona. So we're here at the Voice of Dentistry Summit. And literally, I live 4 miles from here.
That's convenient.
So it's such a treat to be able to speak and, you know, be home.
Sleep in your own bed or if you were,
Yeah. So anyway, I learned in 07 that in Arizona is one of 5 states, you do not have to be a dentist to own a practice. You can actually do that in any state with some legal structure of a DSO.
Right.
But it's very easy in Arizona. Anybody can buy a practice. So I wanted to have one because I wanted to have a learning and teaching laboratory, like a test kitchen, where we could test concepts.
Exactly.
And then I could teach them when I'm speaking and I could share them with our clients.
Well, and I think it gives you also, I mean, so much more value in a standpoint of like, not I practice what I preach.
Right. Well, so I got to tell you, I thought it would be useful to own a practice. I mean, conceptually, I thought, okay, this will be useful. And I have to tell you, I would not want to do the work that I do as a coach without owning a practice.
Sure.
So every week I spend time in my own office. And it's very unusual. In fact, I'm speaking tomorrow here. I have 3 new slides in my lecture tomorrow that are a result of things I learned this week in my practice.
Oh, wow.
I thought, before owning a practice, I thought I knew a little bit about cancellation and no-shows. I now have a PhD in cancellation.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah.
I thought I knew a little bit about HR and you know, personnel management. And I know a lot more about that today. And it's a wonderful, fertile learning environment for me. And it's dynamic. It's changing.
Well, I love the perspective, too, because it's so much more easy for you to relate to us as dentists and owners. But when you're living it, too, versus the consultant that comes in, it's like, well, this is how it should be done. It's like, well it's hard to do.
And I'm not embarrassed to tell you this, that I taught some things for many years.
I see. That's so cool. I know you're going with this. Yeah,
you don't work.
Yeah.
I mean, literally don't work.
That's awesome, though. Like, that to me is makes you so much more valuable. Like, man.
Can I share a quick story with
you? Please do. Please.
So I was the guy in 1982. I stood up in the Chicago Midwinter meeting, and I said, back then, you have to remember how, you know, we didn't have technology like
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
And the way we made hygiene appointments is we had patients fill out a postcard by hand, and then we'd put them in a little recipe card box, and we would mail those postcards out to patients 6 months later when they were due for their hygiene appointment and said, call us. And we learned something. Linda Miles taught me this, and Linda was right. She said, have the patient self-address their postcard, because when they get it, they'll remember that they'll see their handwriting. We all know our handwriting. So they won't treat it as junk mail. You know, so they'll look at it and they'll call and make their appointment. And that's what we did in 1982. And I said, nonsense. Let's make their next appointment. Let's make the you know, here we are. You're in front of
Right,
let's make it. And we didn't have, you know, computers, but we'd get the book, you know, 6 months out.
Flip of the pages.
And we'd make it. And I said, everybody, 100% of your patients should make their next appointment. No one leaves your office without making their next appointment.
That's huge.
I taught that for 25 years. Now, fast forward, I own my practice.
Okay.
It's 6 months into ownership.
All right.
And We have a patient. I'll use his first name. I won't use his last name.
Sure.
Be HIPAA compliant. Charlie.
Charlie.
The local high school football coach.
Okay.
And I was real excited about having him come in that day because we make the mouth guards for NFL quality mouth guards for his football team. We do that. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Sure, sure.
And that's a wonderful local community service marketing project. And I was excited about talking to Charlie about coordinating it that year. 7 o'clock, first appointment. 7 o'clock. No Charlie. 7:02. No Charlie. 7:05. Now I go up front to Stacy, my front desk coordinator. I said, you know, here it is, 7:10. Stacy, no Charlie. She goes, I knew he wasn't coming. And I used my best emotional intelligence. I had to muster it because I wanted to react.
Right.
But I said, Stacy, let me ask you a question. If you knew Charlie wasn't coming, why did you make his appointment? And she said, without moment's hesitation, because you told me to. You told me that no one leaves her office without making the next appointment. And I'm like, guilty as charged. She said, Gary, Charlie's in the middle of football season. All he cares about is football season. He doesn't care about the 7 o'clock appointment. He's not coming. And that insight made me realize that while the concept of pre-booking is very valid,
it can't just be.
It's not 100%.
It can't be black and white.
So in fact, my goal day is 90%.
Sure.
In any practice, maybe 10% of the maybe they're shift workers. They don't know their schedule in 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're high school football coaches and it's football season.
Or college kids. Or right. I mean, there's a bajillion things, yeah.
But it helped me understand that what I had taught for many years had a flaw in it and we could correct it.
That's a great point.
And it was a wonderful correction.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So I love one of the things you said there, too, is how intentional you were when you're talking about NFL quality night guards.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Okay, so
I know that was an intentional thing you said that, like, you know, it separates what that is from something you can buy at Walgreens or something like that.
So I have a wonderful mentor that taught me how to make these mouth guards. Sadly, we lost him about 4 years ago to prostate cancer. Dr. Derek DeMarteau, I want to recognize
him. Sure, yeah.
He was the team dentist of the Oakland Raiders and Golden State Warriors. The only dentist to be both an NFL team dentist and an NBA.
Cool.
And also 6'9", played basketball for UCLA under Coach Wooden.
Wow.
So how cool
was
that?
Wow, yeah. But
the same mouth guards that he was making for Steph Curry. You know, Steph Curry, it's that same mouth guard.
Yeah.
So he taught us how to make these mouth guards. And what Derek taught me was that we should offer this to our local high school football team as a community service project. So I called. Literally, we bought the practice in May of 07. By the end of May, I called the high school football coach, Charlie. And I said, Charlie, you don't know me. My name's Gary. I own a dental practice about two blocks from your school. We'd like to volunteer to make your boys NFL quality mouth guards. And I said, what are they wearing now? And he said, they're wearing those boil and bite ones. And half the kids, I can't even get them to wear them. They don't fit.
Sure.
I said, well, Charlie, we could correct that. Because these are literally the same mouth guards the Raiders and the Golden State Warriors are wearing. And he says, what's the catch? So that's a fair question.
That's a fair question. Yeah. What do you want? Yeah.
So I said, and this was in 07. I said two things, but today I'd say three. Here's what I said. I said, well, Charlie, there really is no catch. We my son played football. I know, in a contact sport like football, teeth can get damaged.
Right.
And we want to protect the kids' teeth. And secondly, we want to be involved in the local community. You're our school. You're 2 miles,
you're right
two blocks
there
away
yeah.
from
we,
our
go
practice.
Life yeah.
So we'd like to be involved. And he literally hesitated for a minute. And he said, I'm in. Now, if I was doing this today, I'd add a third. I'd say, we love teeth. We want to protect the boys' teeth. We want to be involved in our local community. And you're part of our local community. And third, there is some compelling research, Charlie. Pay attention here. Mm-hmm. Some compelling research today that says that a custom, properly fitted mouth guard can reduce the incident of concussion. Now, if I didn't have them on point one or two.
You got them there.
I got them, especially with the latest.
Sure. With the media buzz and all that sort of thing.
Else. Yeah. So anyway, there's all kinds of variations to this. So what we do is, in our case, we make 64 mouth guards. The varsity team has 64 boys. We see 32 on a Monday night and 32 on a Tuesday night. So we stay open from 5 to 7. We don't make appointments for the boys. They can just come in anytime. They have to bring one parent. because we need them to sign a release.
Right, right.
But we also really, for marketing, does anyone listening to this think I want a practice full of 16 and 17 year old boys?
No. It's a fantastic way to meet some parents.
Who do I want to, who do I want?
Exactly. Yes. It's intentional. Yeah.
I want the parents, I want the grandparents, I want their aunts and uncles, right. I want the 100%. Teacher. So we decorate our office, the school donates or lends us trophies from the athletic department,
cool. Yeah,
banners.
Yeah.
We bring the cheerleaders. We bring the coaches. We bring the booster club. You know why we bring the cheerleaders?
Why?
Well, you bring the girls, you get the boys.
Well, bingo.
We have 100% compliance. And my wife makes literally a case of brownies. And Paul's wife, my dentist wife, makes lemonade. Little tip, don't let the boys eat the brownies until you, after
yeah, no
you
joke.
Take the impressions. We learned that hard the first
yes.
year. And by the way,
pulling brownie out of the
right, you cannot make enough brownies for 32
I believe that.
High school football
I believe that.
Players. So just make a case.
Yeah, going through 2 days and all that. No
right.
joke.
So that night we take the impressions and then we stay as a team to pour up all the models. And then over the course of the next 2 or 3 weeks, my assistants actually make them. It's a dual layer mouth guard.
Okay.
The material's about 3 millimeters thick. Because it's thicker than usual, we use a thermal suck down process.
Right.
We use the Great Lakes
Mini Star. Perfect.
There's another one from Germany called the Drufamax.
Uh-huh.
They're wonderful. But you need something more powerful than, say, a whitening suck down machine
right.
because
kind
it's
old
thicker.
School, the one that slam. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
So it's 3 millimeters thick. So you suck that down, and the base layer we buy in the school colors. In our case,
okay.
it's red and black. And then when you, in between, the second layer is clear, and you suck that down over it. In between the two layers, we print on clear label stock the school logo.
Oh, nice.
The boy's name and his football number. And because it's from a label stock, you just gently affix it. And then when you suck down the second layer, it vacuum forms around it
right.
and makes a very cool custom mouth guard.
Yeah, it's way cool.
It looks awesome.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And we do something fun for Derek taught us this as well. The quarterbacks and the defensive captain need to enunciate
because right.
they're calling out
right,
plays.
Right, right.
And we don't need protection on the lingual surfaces of 7, 8, 9, and 10, right? Nothing's happening back
sense.
Here.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
We need it up here.
So their tongue can...
Right, we cut back the first layer on the backside of 7 to 10. And then when we suck down the second layer, it's just one layer. And by the way, if you're doing the math, 3 millimeters thick, 2 layers, 6 millimeters, because it's heat processed as well, it shrinks
down.
About 40%. It ends up
okay.
being about 4 millimeters thick. But then when we back cut for the captains and the defensive captain, it's only about 2 millimeters thick on the lingual surfaces. And that way they can enunciate, they can make
makes
the calls.
Sense. It makes sense.
But it's fun. We have a great time doing it. Can I share a result with you?
Yes, please.
So last year we track everything we do in the practice so I can report it.
Right.
And one of the things we like to track with our marketing is ROI. So return on
investment. Probably a pretty good thing to track.
It's a crazy idea. The millennials will get it. It's the mid-career dentists and the old guys that don't get that.
Right.
Okay, so we spent about $1,000 in material, in the blanks and in the materials that it took to make these mouth guards. We already bought the machine. It was paid for, so we didn't
sure,
have that
sure.
expense. Out of the patients that came in from that project, we did $101,000 worth of dentistry.
Holy cow.
Now, may I put you on the spot?
Yes.
What was our ROI? Cost us $1,000. We did about $101,000.
Yeah.
100 to 1.
Wow.
Would you agree that if we could get 100 to 1 on every marketing activity,
we
would be pretty good?
Yes.
But that's one that consistently has returned that.
Wow.
Let me talk about variations of that. If you're in an area that has youth hockey, you can make it for the hockey
sure.
team. Any contact sport. So be creative. Think about it. It could be lacrosse in the spring. Could be soccer. I have a client that practices in San Jose. And one of his patients, and I didn't even know this still existed, she's on the local roller derby team.
No way. Perfect.
These gals don't make any money.
No.
You know what she
yes.
makes? She makes $25 a game. Okay. So a doctor volunteered to make it for these roller derby
team,
20 gals. And they were so happy. You would have thought they won the lottery getting this free mouth guard. They told everybody in the community about it.
That's
so, anyway,
fantastic. So, oh my gosh, I just love that. The big thing I love about the night guards too is when we look at our marketing and you're, because especially as a new dish graduate, whether you're buying in a practice, you're starting up a practice, whatever you do, you're trying to build your kind of clientele basis. we have to do something to market, right? Well, the problem with spending money on things is we don't necessarily get to personally interact. We're hoping for something to give the return. What I love about doing this is this gets you a lot of at-bats. I mean, think about how many times, I mean, now if you're getting 64 opportunities to be parents, that means you have 64 opportunities to sell yourself.
So like, can I amplify that?
Yes, please.
So on the Tuesday night last year, 32 boys and we had 32 parents. Do you know we made 20 appointments that night with the parent right there in the office? In other words, the parent would say something like...
They're in there.
The parent would say, oh my gosh, I just moved to town. I'm looking for a dad. Well, when my team hears that...
Oh, they perfect.
Oh my God, we love to see new patients. I can make your appointment right now. They literally walked over to the computer, made the appointment.
Wow.
We made 20 appointments at the event. We had another one say that, my dentist retired. I've been looking for one. Well, we love to see new patients. And,
yeah.
And we had one just say, hey, you know what? This is so cool that you're giving back. We don't charge for these. If we were to charge for these mouth guards, they'd be a $500 mouth guard.
Oh, 100%.
We don't charge.
Yeah.
We don't charge. It's our gift. And so the school allows us to have an ad in their football program. They comp that to us. It's a gift.
For doing that. That's right. Awesome. Yeah.
We don't do a typical ad like, you know, a new patient special Invisalign. We show up, the coach invites us to come on picture day, on photo day. And when they take the whole team photo, we take my team. I've got 15 team members, and Paul, Tim, and I make 18 of us. We're in the front row in front of entire team
perfect.
Of the coaches.
Well,
they take the photo. That's the photo we put in the football program. And all we say is, we're proud to be associated with the Chaparral High School community. That's all we say. And then it says Life Smiles Dental Care and has our URL. And I'm telling you, that is one of the most effective things we do.
Just being associated
just
with
being
it.
Associated
not trying
with.
To sell something.
And by the way, we also, it's cool. We're involved. They invite us on the field on Friday night. So we go on Friday night, the sidelines, we're part of the team.
It's one of those mutual winning things.
It is.
Right? Like Justin was talking about earlier, man, everybody kind of wins in that.
It's win-win-win.
Okay. Last question I'll ask you, because I know you got to get around to meet people. What would you say has been like the hardest part or the biggest thing you've learned since you've kind of stepped into owning practices?
I'm going to characterize it this way. And I really want your listeners to think about this for just a minute, because it's something I've learned over the last 10 years of being a practice owner that I didn't understand until I owned a practice. And that is that when we make improvements in the practice and we introduce something, say we introduce a new strategy, we're going to start taking digital photos for our patients. Before I owned a practice, I used to think it was one and done. In other words, you would introduce it and we'd check it off our list and we'd go on to the next thing. And it doesn't happen that way in real life.
No.
And what I want to encourage your listeners to do is use your emotional intelligence. Don't get frustrated when you have to go back and revisit something to get traction. Don't go back and don't get frustrated. Just understand that most people don't learn something once.
Right.
Or at least they don't learn it at a mastery level once. Maybe they learned it at a surface level. But don't get frustrated when you have to stick with it, when you have to, revisit what it is that you're learning.
That's huge.
And you have to make mid-course corrections. Stay with it. Stay with it. And stay with it until you get to the point where you can master it. One of the best ways that you can do that is I believe when someone really learns something is when they can teach it.
Right.
So involve your team. Do some team meetings that are service-oriented where your team members are going to teach other team members.
Yeah.
And whenever you're doing something, you can have your team members get to the point where they could teach other team members about it, then they'll have learned it at a level where they've mastered it. And it's a cool way to sort of get stickiness. You know, we use the term stickiness to get something to stick.
I like that.
It's kind of a cool way to do that.
Can I add something to that too?
Please.
So because that speaks to me so much right now, because the big problem I keep having and where I thought it would be a good thing to add is not only do you have to stick with it, but you have to be careful about implementing too many things at one time. I am being learning that the hard way.
So may I make you feel better?
Yes.
So I'm a big fan of taking digital photos for patient education. And the simple reason for that is we all know the saying, a photo is worth 1,000 words. A picture is worth 1,000 words. And when I got excited about that in my practice, we started taking them on all new patients, which is manageable, right? Because we take a series of six.
Right.
I'm talking about digital photos, not intraoral photos. I got so excited about it that I said at the next morning huddle, we're going to take photos on every patient every day.
Yeah.
Okay. And the team wanted to be supported. They wanted to be behind it. And they said, okay. And it was such a disaster. The wheels fell off because we were trying to do too much. We quickly mid-course corrected and said, you know what, let's do, let's take them on all new patients. Let's pick one or two patients every day in hygiene. And then over time, we'll end up getting them on all patients.
Right.
And it was a more effective way of doing it because the wheels didn't fall off. Exactly. But thank you for saying that and guilty as charged. Hey, been there, done that.
I love it. No, that's just something. I had one of my team members come to me yesterday. I was just like, you got to slow down. She was like, I love it. I know you're passionate about it. We're doing it. But like, it's just overwhelming. And it was good because I was like, I need to hear that because I was like, I get it. I get it. I'm trying to do too much right now. And then it ends up being everything is getting done at 50% level. And so it's not what we want to do.
Right.
Well, this has been fantastic.
Hey, I want to say thanks, man.
Yes,
thanks for
having me on the
show. I got to get you on mine.
Please, we'd love to. Yeah, I'd love to.
I love the work that you're doing. I love your listeners. You know, kudos to your listeners. You know, man, it's awesome that you're listening. You know, what I love about podcasts is that it's such a consumable media. You know, it's such a consumable medium. It's so cool when, you know, people could be driving to work and learning at the same time, multitasking.
Right. And I'll tell you, my thing is like, you know, the whole millennial thing, we get a lot of stuff. I mean, right, in the media and whatnot. But my thing is I really, and one of the reasons why I love the name of that for our podcast is like, I want to challenge our generation to fight against that. Because I think what we can do because of our access for information, you know, we can get information everywhere. We can be in podcasts, online. There's so many things that we can do that we have the opportunity to actually do something really special. Because the gap can be shortened. I mean, what it took for people to learn before, it was a lot harder. You know, you had to go through certain steps. We can shorten a lot of those gaps if we really put our minds to it.
Can I be a voice for millennials for just a second?
Please.
Of course.
I'm loving this. I feel like I'm getting a lot. So yes.
I'm not a millennial. Newsflash. Okay.
You just missed the cut.
Yeah, I slightly missed the cut. Okay. I'm a boomer. You know, you could probably figure that out. Maybe a boomer. But I think millennials get a bad rap. I teach on Mondays at dental school. So I teach at Midwestern University's School of Dental Medicine. I teach practice management, but really what I teach is the people side of dentistry. I have all four classes, and I have our class size is 140 students. And this year, with all four classes, I have 640 students. Do you know that 630 of those 640 are millennials? 10 are not millennials.
Right, sure.
And I want to tell you something. Millennials often get mislabeled. It's dangerous to label an entire generation 100%, anything.
100%.
But I have to tell you that if anyone, you know, occasionally outside of dentistry, you'll hear people say, the darn youth these days, they just don't understand
it.
You know,
right,
they
right. just.
And I turn to them and say, you know, I'd love to bring you into my dental school classes. And I'd love to introduce you to people that are deeply committed to improving themselves, they're deeply committed to improving their community, and they're deeply committed to making a difference in the world.
Sure,
and
I agree.
Man, I love working with millennials. I think, you know, some characteristics that I see that are very cool is oftentimes they want to be involved in something that's bigger than themselves.
100%.
So one of the ways you can translate that into practice is get involved in charity as a team. You know, it could be the Mission of Mercy program. Mm-hmm. You could take your team on an opportunity to provide dentistry to people that wouldn't receive dentistry otherwise. That can be done at the local level, at the national level, internationally.
Yeah.
You can go, you know, there's plenty of organizations that you can go. You can go to Guatemala. You can go to Vietnam. You can go to Nepal and provide care to people who wouldn't get care otherwise. I'm going to Tonga next year.
Nice.
Our school has a clinic in Tonga, and our dean invited me. I'll be part of a 20-person team. We're going to be delivering dentistry in Tonga for 2 weeks. My wife is actually going as the cook. Now, Dr. Smith is a very wise man. He knows my wife. She is an amazing cook. So she is actually going as the cook.
So there's some strategy there. He was thinking about it.
I'm literally going as the gopher.
Right.
Whatever they need done, I will be the runner. I'll do whatever needs to be done.
I love it.
But millennials love to be involved in something that's bigger than
themselves.
I
100% agree.
And the other comment that I would have about millennials is that millennials want to know the why. They want to know why we're doing something. If you can step back and help them understand the why before you get to the how, they will often greatly embrace it because they understand the context.
That makes total sense.
And those are, again, dangerous generalities to make. But
yeah.
But man, I think the world, I always like to say that if anyone's concerned about our profession and where it's going, look around at some of the amazing millennial dentists, and I think you'll understand that if the future is very bright, the future is in good hands with people like yourself and your listeners, and you're going to come in on the shoulders of others and take our profession even farther. Pardon my enthusiasm.
No, I love it.
I love millennials.
Well, that's perfect. Well, thank you so much again. I look forward to doing this again in the future. And so Thriving Dental Practices,
the podcast is called The Thriving Dentist Show.
Correct.
It's on iTunes. It's on, if you're an Android person, it's on Google Play. We love new listeners.
Yes,
Jump in. And my coaching firm is called the Thriving Practice Academy.
That's what it was.
If you're interested, shoot me an email, gary@thrivingpracticeacademy.com.
Awesome. Gary, thank you so much. I appreciate it. This has been fun.
Thank you.
Adam, introduce yourself and tell us what you're doing.
Okay, so I'm Adam Hodges. I'm a general dentist in Asheville, North Carolina, by way of the Medical College of Georgia and a general practice residency in Columbia, South Carolina.
Nice. How long have you been out?
17 years.
Oh my gosh.
18 years.
You don't look old enough to be out 17 years. That's good.
I definitely feel it.
That's fantastic.
I've really enjoyed it. Made this commute up to Asheville. Went to high school, college, and dental school in Georgia. Really thought I was going to be in Georgia, but my father's a dentist, my brother's a dentist, and my brother and I practice together now in Asheville.
So tell us how you got kind of associated with the Hinman Dental Meeting and whatnot.
So while I was in dental school in Georgia, I really enjoyed being active in the political side of dentistry and learning more about what goes on and how dentistry works on a state level. Got to make some really, really wonderful friendships. And I was starting in my freshman year of dental school, I went to the Hinman Dental Meeting with my father. So I was introduced to the Hinman Meeting right off the bat.
That's kind of how I was the same way, yeah.
My dad's a military dentist, and so he went to the meeting, and I went, and I had a wonderful time. And throughout dental school, my tuition was free to go to the Hinman Meeting and a lot of free courses. So I really just love dentistry. I love everything about dentistry. So I had an opportunity to really learn more. At the same time, I didn't have any money, so it was great because it didn't cost me money to go, and it was close by. So it was really nice. And every year since, I've been to the Hinman. And then over time, once I graduated and got into practice in Asheville, I still wanted to be involved. So I inquired about being an associate member of the Hinman. Most of the members are in and around the Atlanta area, but I wanted to be involved, and they were nice enough to let me be involved. So I'm an associate member. And so I just love it. I love the organization. I go to a lot of the dental meetings, and the Hinman has my heart because it's such a warm meeting, and it's so friendly. The people are very friendly there, and it's just a great town to be in for a meeting as well.
Well, it's kind of like the meeting of the Southeast. I mean, honestly, it's you know, not to exclude other people, but what I love about it is kind of like our group. You know, it's our people. It's, you know, we all kind of come from similar backgrounds and similar things, and so I do love that. It's fun to meet other people from our area in general. You know, it brings from everywhere, but that's one of the things I love. So tell me a little bit more about, okay, what can a student get out of it? I mean, I think a lot, you know, it's hard sometimes as a student. You're overwhelmed with classes and whatnot, but talk a little bit about what the Hinman offers to students, kind of how to get involved and what all they can do.
So the nice thing is the first of all, you get to come to the meeting for free. And so,
which is huge right there.
Free is always good.
I mean, right now I was cracking up. We were giving away shirts yesterday. It's like you give away free t-shirts and they're like, you know, it's like flies on, you know, it's ridiculous. They're like, a free meeting. I mean, when you're paying, that's been, you know.
And just like you say, I mean, obviously finance is a big issue for students, especially with the debt they're battling now. So getting to come to a meeting for free and then also getting to see life outside of dental school. What they learn in dental school is very confined to what's teachable in that environment. So they get to see what the kind of real world dentist is doing out there. So not only do they get to do that by the free courses they can take, because half the courses are free, also they get to go through the vendor section where they get to learn about what's going on, what opportunities are out there for different equipment in dentistry that they've never seen before. So they can gain interest in that. Also, there's programs that are tailored to recent graduates and dental students, like the Graduates of the Last Decade program, where they can learn about their personal and professional financial wealth and health, just to understand how to run a business more, which is a problem most dental students don't understand until they get out, and then they're feel ill-equipped to deal with when they get out.
Well, I think that's great too, because students are realizing that they're not learning anything about that. So they're looking for information, you know, on that subject specifically. So I like how y'all have done kind of that morning of it's dentistry, but it's more of looking at dentistry from the business side of things, and those classes are like that. Tell me about the hands-on CE. I had no idea that there was free hands-on CE that students could do. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing, because we have two wonderful accomplished lecturers who are going to give hands-on continuing education. One is in oral surgery and one is on suturing, both very relevant concepts for students that they can utilize in at dental school. So in these cases, yeah, the students are given that an opportunity to get free CE there that's hands-on, and they just don't get opportunities like that otherwise.
No, I totally agree. Well, Sarah, what are your thoughts?
That's great just to have this, because when I was a student, I had no idea this was even an option.
I didn't either. No. Yeah.
And I mean, and at the administration at the time wouldn't give you time off to go to the meetings. That has changed at Tennessee to, I think they're
supporting a lot more of that type of thing.
Yeah. Sure. So I think that's headed in the right direction. I think a misconception I had is I was in dental school, I didn't need CE. Like, and so I didn't see the value of these programs, but now being out, I mean, I see the benefit of.
Gosh. Well, there's, I liked all the real world aspects like you touched on. I mean, yeah. What, I mean, you know, what we talk about this all the time, because what happens is, our generation, specifically being young, we understand that we have the access to information at our fingertips. I mean, I could go learn, you know, how to do, place an implant on YouTube. You know, technically, I mean, you literally, it's the information is out there. You can get the information however you want. What we don't get and we don't value, don't understand is that there is nothing that can replace one-on-one meeting people, learning from other people, seeing what's, because what you're not going to, if you don't walk around that vendor fair, you're not going to see half the companies that are out there. You know, you're not going to get experience to what, and if you don't know what you don't know, then you're never going to have the opportunity to do that. And when you're a dental student, unfortunately, you're locked into the one products, you know, that the school has partnered with in a relationship. And so you're going to get only those products. And so if you go out and you think that the only composite is, you know, X, then you're not even going to know that, you know. So that's one of the things that I loved about it, was being able to get samples of stuff, try stuff, talk to other people and see it from a whole different angle of just like, oh my gosh, wow, I really don't know as much, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the thing about that that's kind of interesting too that you touched on is there is a lot of information available on social media. And so a lot of people do go to those outlets to try to learn. The problem is they have no idea how to discern whether the information they're getting is quality information or is research-based. One of the things you can rely on with an organization like Hinman that is focused on education is that the speakers that we bring in are people that we have looked at for years to try to make sure that they present information that's consistent with what good information would be, so that the techniques that you learn, you can rely on.
You've waded through some of the mush.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of mush out there.
Yeah. Trust me, I believe it. You get on some of these Facebook groups and you're like, what are they doing? Like, I don't know if that's the right way to do it.
But sometimes it can be the blind leading the blind.
Sure.
And you just don't know. And students need a place where they can rely upon the information they're getting, like their dental school is quality information. And that's what they get there.
That's awesome. Well, perfect. Thank y'all for hopping on and talking with us. I did feel like this was a good place to, I wanted to get together at some point to kind of talk about that, because it's nice to hear y'all's perspective on things, because even we, you know, are limited in what we know about it and whatnot. So it's something we're a huge fan of. Yeah, Dr. Noe, jump on here real quick.
We just had so much fun meeting you guys, the millennial dentist.
It's been fun. I mean, yeah.
Such creativity and such spontaneity. It's rare to find a dental meeting.
I know, right? Well, that's kind of why, you know, at this point in the game, I feel like, you know, we can all continue to move forward and do things differently and rely on the same foundation that got us here, right? I mean, we need energy, we need change, and I think that's what's got to happen with dental meetings. You know, the way we learn is different than the way we learned 15 years ago, you know, and if we don't continue to evolve and move in a direction that engages listeners, then it's going to be hard to continue that style of meeting. And when we lose that, we lose all the things we talk about. We lose the relationships and building from each other. And I don't want our generation to be the one that leads us into, we only, you know, we text each other in the same room, you know.
Yeah.
I'd like to like fight that as long as we can.
Yeah. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I know.
We think there's a lot to be learned. We've got a lot to offer of biologics.
Yes.
That you guys, when you come out, y'all have the basics, the fundamentals.
No, you're exactly right.
But we've made the mistakes and we've learned from them, and we know what works and what doesn't work. And the method of communication is going to be the key. And our the way the Hinman's set up is we're there to help and facilitate and try to give you opportunities to grow within the speakers that we bring, and also network and have a good time. So we've even got a It's called Him and Hoops this year, where it's on the floor, on the exhibit floor, with just a, kind of a networking, couple beers, and hang out. And then we've got an event, too, Saturday night. Come to that. And at the aquarium, $20, two beers and eat, and with live entertainment. But the one thing y'all need to know about the Hemman that I'd like for you to love for the people to know is, like our motto is, the truth is great and it shall prevail. We've been doing this 105 years. And we still have a lot of the principles of the man that originally started, Thomas B. Hemman. But the other part that a lot of people don't realize is the revenues that we have excess from our meeting as we reinvest it back in you, the student and the young graduate, so that you can have scholarships and help along the way. So it's kind of like we don't do it all for ourselves. Look forward to seeing you guys again.
That's right. We can't wait. We will be at Hemman. We will, we're going to have a booth there, which we're super excited about. So come see us. We're going to be recording live there with different people. And we'll have some fun stuff to give away. And yeah, it's going to be fun. All right. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.